Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Another trick play as Olszewski throws and spot. Olszewski with the pass.
Whoa!
Into the end zone for a Giants touchdown, Jameis Winston.
You didn't think we were starting with Steelers, Bob. We want to avoid that as long as possible. We're starting with Gunner making a better throw than Mason made all game.
Gunner Olszewski. How about Winston on the reception and the yak after
it? Oh, my God.
He passed for almost 400 yards against that team.
All praise Gunner. Right, Limits? That's a beautiful clip to start with.
I was so happy for Gunner. That was the most electric play of the week by any team in any single game.
It sure was. But yes, of course, we're only kidding here. Although Gunner did play as well as Mason. Let's go with your real opening, Limits, please.
Rudolph to throw it. Looking for a big play. Sideline. And it's intercepted.
On cue.
The shot. Offensive plays per game, and they have the most plays on defense. Williams, a strike to DJ Moore. Touchdown, Chicago. First and goal for the Steelers. Rudolph swings it out. DK Metcalf turns it upfield, and he's in. Touchdown, Steelers. Second and long. Here's Williams in the pocket. Williams trying to get out of the pocket. He won't. Loses the ball. Steelers jump on top of it. It's a touchdown. And it's T.J. Watt. Third and five. 4 minutes to go. First half. Williams throws it. And it's caught for the touchdown. Loveland carries a defender with him for the score. Turns this into a third and manageable. Flags are down. Williams downfield. The Bears go back in front. Rudolph looking. Rudolph is sacked.
Ball's out.
Ball's out. Ball is rolling around. Who's got it? Bears had a shot at it. Steelers then had a chance. Chicago's Montez Sweat. Handoff. Manungai. He's a hammer. Touchdown, Bears. Clock is ticking. They need 6 yards. Rudolph throws, and it's tipped in the line of scrimmage. It's over. The Bears' defense comes through. Jaquan Brisker.
Oh, my God, Bob. What a horrific, horrific loss that was. I don't care if the Bears were favored. I really don't. The Steelers were playing a team that had a below average and in many ways bad, except for the turnovers, defense. I think the 27th ranked defense in the league. And that's when they're healthy. They had no starting linebackers. Jalen Johnson didn't make it back. Another good corner didn't make it back. They lost one of their second string linebackers. Did I mention they had no starting linebackers? Did I mention half their secondary was out? That was a
six
decimated, banged up JV defense. It looked like the Steelers were going to roll early. They should have. They found a way to screw it up as only they can. And what a terrible, terrible Mike Tomlin defeat. Remember my friend Tom Cusimano Limits?
Ah, yes. You would have a lot of fun times with him growing up, huh?
Yeah, I mentioned him on the Friday show, a Donnie Football Friday, Bob. And he was my best friend growing up, and he is a diehard, obsessive Bears fan and always was. I don't know why. I think because Walter Payton was his favorite player a million years ago. I texted him in the fourth quarter. I said, how many Bears starters compared to third stringers are on defense right now? Again, this is an obsessive Bears follower. He said, and I quote, I know my team, and I have no idea who half these guys are. The Steelers lost to that. They lost to that in a game where they should have rolled up probably 40 points on that defense. And the question I'm left with, Bob, more than any other, and I have a million, is if Aaron Rodgers is such an automatic play for next week to the point where Mike Tomlin didn't even hesitate when asked if he'll be ready next week, that's only seven measly little days away. Why didn't he play yesterday? Why did we watch, as Andrew Filippone once dubbed him before Filippone became a huge Mason Rudolph fan, mediocre Mason? Where was Aaron? Where was the starting quarterback? Why didn't he play? This is a coach who once played Ben when he couldn't walk in a game in San Francisco. Remember that one?
Yes.
Against Jim Harbaugh all those
night.
Years ago? Where was the starting quarterback if he's so automatic already to play next week? That's my question.
Well, here's what I'll say. That it must be worse than we think. That's the only explanation there can be.
Then how is he a sure shot to play next week?
I don't think he said sure. He said, I'm hopeful. And I don't know if he's going to play next week. I think it may be longer than that. Who knows? But again, to me, the only explanation
then why, is... Then why wouldn't he say, we'll see how the week plays out. We'll leave the light on for him.
Well, just
I have no idea. He said, I anticipate he'll be ready.
Anticipate is the word. What I'm saying is Slay, he made it sound like he was going to start and play a lot. He didn't. He was out there a little bit, but James
that's because Slay came up a little banged up Friday in practice.
Okay, but he's always banged up, you know.
You don't think Aaron Rodgers lobbied to play? Aaron Rodgers could have played. Why didn't he play?
The only explanation, Joe, is that it's worse than it is. That's the only explanation there can be, and they weren't going to let anyone know it, playing these cat and mouse games. But I think quarterback or no quarterback, even if he played, I don't think there would have been a difference there. It's the lack of scheme on both sides of the ball.
I disagree.
You think it would have been a different
wholeheartedly.
Outcome?
Wholeheartedly, yes. And I thought,
you don't have
a problem
with the scheme more than anything else?
I have tons of problems with the scheme. They don't go across the middle of the field, although Aaron, I think, would have done it sometimes.
No, Aaron hasn't done it all that much either.
He would have done it more than Mason
well,
did
he
it. He also would have completed some throws down the field.
I understand that, but the point was in this game, as you mentioned at the very beginning, very nicely, this is a Bears defense that was one of the last-ranked defenses when healthy. They allowed 42 points to the Cincinnati Bengals. And here they are, minus six starters.
Less than half their starters on the field. No linebackers.
I knew it was going to take a lot of points to win it, but I didn't think that their defense would give up as much as they gave up. This is the fifth time this year that their
horrible
defense has gone and given up 30 points a game. That's the high watermark or low watermark if you look at it in Mike Tomlin's tenure.
Horrifying.
So what I'm saying is, yeah, the quarterback
stunk.
Play, the quarterback play was not what it needed to be. But I also thought the scheming was bad, and it's the same old thing. We saw more jet sweeps yesterday. I thought Matt Canada was back in the house.
We saw tight end sweeps. We thought we saw everything.
So scheme
except
for me
passes
is
over the
both
middle
on offense and defense. That's
yes,
how I look at it.
They got totally outcoached. Agreed. I think if Aaron Rodgers plays, they win that game. One of the things Mason did was pick out the wrong receiver on multiple plays too. That defense was there for the taking. You go back and watch the third and five or whatever it was, the third down play on the final series. Jonnu Smith just walks off the line and he's wide open.
He's wide open. That was a mistake, absolutely.
And if Aaron Rodgers, by the way, can recognize from the sidelines that they're in a bad formation, why couldn't Mason recognize it and either call timeout or do something else?
Yeah, but that's also a good point. We talked about it after the game. All these little things add up, and that denied them of 20 yards of a scramble. And at on the five, it's a 25-yard difference in yardage. So, yeah, there were a lot of problems there, and he could have rectified some of them. But I still think generally this, when it comes to quarterback play, no matter who it is, and it's been this way for the last several years, they ignore the middle of the field.
No doubt.
I keep talking
no
about
doubt.
It over and over on our postgame shows. I said, I don't understand. Then you saw pass charts come out to indicate exactly that they're not throwing the ball. Meanwhile, what happened to the Chicago Bears? They have guys all over, wide open in the middle of the field. Schematically, where is this defense? How can you let DJ Moore that wide open and people's just looking at each other?
If That's... Caleb Williams wasn't so wildly inaccurate, he would have had 450 yards passing. There were guys open on every play. He had at least six or seven missed throws.
He did. The other thing I saw in that game, and I saw it in the Cincinnati Thursday night game, these quarterbacks, and Joe Flacco is very good and understands it, their throws are normally to their first read, right? Their throws are to their first read, which means you're not, as a defense, making it harder. You a quarterback, if you're doing a good defensive job, should have to go through all of his progressions. Yesterday, Caleb Williams went to his first read a lot, and when he did, he put the ball right there. He didn't have to look all over the place because, number one, they didn't get enough pressure, only one quarterback hit. But number two, even if they were putting people back, two high safety, one high, whatever they were doing, there were too many people wide open. So you can't let your quarterback on the other team, who can fire it. I mean, he's inaccurate many times, but when he's on, you give him a little bit of space, he can put it right where he has to.
No doubt. And that's, I agree with every syllable you just said, but the big story nationally and locally coming out of this game is, why didn't Rodgers play if he thought he could play? And clearly he thought he could play and wanted to play.
Well, why do you think that is? Because, again, to me, the only explanation is that it was worse than we
probably
thought.
Probably because Tomlin became paranoid about turnovers with that contraption on his left arm or his left wrist.
The turnover is always the middle of the field. The middle of the field indicates that they're afraid to throw the ball in the middle field.
I have never seen a team at any level of football who is this paranoid about a turnover. And he talks about it so much that I feel like the team is conditioned to emotionally wilt every time there's a turnover. So Rudolph throws the ball down the field and it gets picked off early in the game. Guy made a great play. Of course they score. Oh my God, a turnover. Oh no, a turnover. They should just forfeit, Bob, when they turn the ball over. I've never seen this. I've never seen a head coach this paranoid about turning the ball over. I don't know why he didn't play Rodgers. There was also the week of practice. You know, if Ben was ready on a Saturday, he was going to play, right?
Yes.
So I don't know why Aaron Rodgers didn't play this game. I think they were being overly protective. Maybe they thought they had a win here since the Bears, you know, only had half of a defense on the field. And yet, when he was asked after the game, Tomlin didn't say, we'll see how the week plays out or anything else. He shot right back. I anticipate he'll be ready. Here we go.
Talk about the decision to not use Aaron, and could he be ready by next week?
I anticipate him being ready for next week. It was a prudent decision to make. You know, certainly it wasn't a fluid week for him. It was a fluid week for Mason in terms of reps and so forth. And so I think it'll be in our rear view as we move forward. I'm hopeful of that.
Hopeful. That's a word that when he uses that word normally, that means there's maybe more to this than we're believing.
The guy has a fracture in his left wrist. If it was your starting quarterback, he would have played. Correct.
Let me ask you something. You don't think Aaron Rodgers would have gone in there and said, hey, I'm playing?
He did. I'm sure he did, at least. I'm not reporting that, but it sounded
right.
like
I
it.
Report when, it when, I don't know.
When Tomlin said after the game, Aaron always wants to play. Of course he wanted to play.
Okay. Well, then why
and
not?
And if it's fear of further injury, then how is that fear alleviated by 7 days?
Well, I guess just time. I don't know why.
To heal a fracture in 7 days?
Well, time to make him...
He's going to be wearing the same contraption next week?
Maybe. I don't know, Joe. You're asking me questions I don't have an answer to.
Me neither. I'm not really asking you. I'm asking Tomlin, really. Why didn't your starting quarterback play? Because your backup was bad. Do we agree on that?
Yes, he was not good yesterday when I thought he would be much better. But again, I think what happens when you're telling your team, essentially, don't throw in dangerous spots, you're becoming fearful.
Yes.
Of things. And you can't be fearful, especially against the defense of anything. They should have attacked that. They did by run. But then the second half, they changed that altogether. Second half was a totally different story than the first. And they didn't attack the areas. Every time, it's true in all coaching levels. When you see a guy out with injury, let's say a starting corner gets out, what do? They attack it. You're supposed to identify the other team's weakness and attack it. This case, the weakness was their entire middle of the field because all their starting inside linebackers were out. That's where you attack, and they didn't attack it.
If they had run the ball every play, I think they win the game, like a conventional run.
Well, they had a whole bunch of yards, 124 yards at halftime rushing. That counts a 55-yard
Yeah, but then in the beginning of the second half, you have already dropping back Mason on first downs. You have him dropping back on second and short, and you have bad things happening. Artie fell in love with himself after the first half, and wanted to get tricky and fool them in the second half, they could have lined up against that crap defense, that decimated defense, with sometimes four starters on the field and simply run the ball straight ahead the whole game and won the game.
And they did that at halftime. They were having success in that. And we've seen that play out every week too, right? Every time you see Jaylen Warren start a game and he has a lot of success, like, for example, last week, all right? Even though that was a different situation, they went 6.2 yards per carry, and then he only carried the ball like 10 times.
Right, because Artie wants to get cute, and because Tomlin lets him, and because the whole offensive scheme, as you've pointed out, the fact that they don't go over the middle of the field is completely out of whack. But Bob, having said all of that, Aaron Rodgers wins this game for them, and Mason Rudolph went a long way toward losing it. He was strip sacked. That led to a touchdown, right? I could stop there.
Yes,
he was strip sacked. He had one interception, should have had two. Roman Wilson's only play of the game was breaking up an interception. He completed almost nothing downfield. He had Roman Wilson open past his guy on the second last series down the right sideline, and Mason threw it 5 yards out of bounds. He made bad decisions on the final series. He didn't recognize, or if he did, he didn't call timeout when they had three left on the illegal formation.
Yep.
He was just awful. He was terrible. He completed a bunch of passes that a backup college quarterback could complete. Some of them were literally behind the line,
exactly.
Many of them 2 yards down the field.
23 of 24 from 10 yards or less, and that's a pretty good percentage. But again, it's requiring then whoever the ball receiver is to make yards after the catch, and that did not happen. Chicago was pretty good about stopping that sort of thing.
Short
passage and hoping for yards after the catch. They dumped, dink.
Especially
kind of
in that last drive.
But you can't live by that. That's effective only if you have success in other ways, and then people are backed off because they know you're going down the field. But when you do it the way they're doing it, it seems like it's all a clustered area. And when you have guys like Jonnu Smith and Darnell Washington, they're going to get the ball, but if they tackle well, you're not going to get those plays like you saw with Washington running.
So hit your plays down the field on the times you have them.
Mason had Roman Wilson. Don't be afraid to do it.
Mason had Roman Wilson down the right sideline, past his guy, one-on-one, and he threw the ball 5 yards out of bounds.
Yes, he did, but I would have told him to keep trying, and I would have called plays designed for that.
Well, by that time,
this
it was the second last series of the game.
They still are being painfully reminded they don't have a second receiver, and they don't have receivers in general. Yesterday combined 10 catches among the receiving corps.
Ben Skoronek had their biggest play.
21
yards. Let me ask you guys.
So how is that possible, and why does not, that should have been a...
All true. Can't disagree is one word you've said about the scheme and the offense, and that's a huge topic.
And the defense.
Of course. They stink. Aaron Rodgers would have won this game. Limits and Bob, who are the two toughest Steelers offensive players to tackle, in your opinion? The two
Washington
toughest.
Washington is by
And
far.
Who else?
Metcalf.
Yeah.
Maybe Warren.
I say Warren and Mount
Warren
Washington.
Warren is just hard. You need three takes to
get
him down.
Well, guess who wasn't on the field on the final series?
I saw that.
Who? Guess who?
Jaylen Warren.
And
Darnell Washington.
Right.
Well, more so Warren for me in this case. Chris and I are watching that game, and we're wondering about, that's a guy who is elusive. He gets the ball. He runs straight ahead.
Yeah.
You need yards. That's a guy who you should have on the field.
Need yards, you only need about – you really didn't need any, in my opinion. And with 27 –
How long was that a field goal? We were debating
64 yards from the 47-yard line.
I should have tried that one.
There was 29 seconds left. People are acting like it would have been some sort of crazy fire drill
and
to get guys on the field. They had all day to get guys on the field.
And they could have spiked the ball, too. They could have done a lot of things.
Well, no, it was fourth. It was. I'm talking going on to fourth down.
Well, I'm talking third down.
Why would you kick a field goal on third down?
I would have said if you're in that, you have no timeouts. If you don't get the first down, you're done. If that's 64 yards, I probably would have done it there just to get it, just to have it. Unless you're and on fourth down,
there was more than 30 seconds left on third down, like 40 seconds left.
Whatever the case, it would have been makeable for Chris Boswell. Just as the tush push that failed, that was way in his range.
Even though it didn't fail, but yes.
The first one.
Yeah, it was a horrible call by the officials.
Okay. That was. Why is the eye in the sky not doing anything? I keep asking that question,
too. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
There's a lot to talk about here, but the quarterbacks are the story. Do we think Rodgers will play next game? Do you think he could have played yesterday?
I don't know. How can I answer that without knowing the severity of this wrist? And don't tell me that they're telling you the exact information. They play cat and mouse games all the time. That's what people
do. If it was that severe, then the head coach doesn't come on afterward and say, I anticipate he'll be ready next week. If it was that bad of an injury, I'm convinced that Aaron Rodgers he basically said he wanted to play.
there are a lot of times where the information comes out that's not accurate with what later happens.
Well, what's the worst it is? A broken left wrist?
I guess.
I think you can play with that. Terry Bradshaw played a whole season with one.
I understand that, but did he go through it and feel something that we don't know about that he told him, I can't do this?
Well, that would be a different situation. There is zero indication from any insider, any reporter, or the head coach that that was the case. Zero.
Right, but a lot of times you don't get the exact information. And so you're led to believe that when you don't know for sure. And
I think in Aaron Rodgers,
I think in Aaron Rodgers, the answer he gave there about him wanting to play, he just did it because that's who he is. But I don't really believe he believed that this week. If you make a decision that's not the best for your football team, which would have had
Aaron Rodgers left-handed would have been better than Mason Rudolph yesterday.
All right, but you're asking me a question there's no answer to. I don't know the answer. What is
wrong
with his wrist?
Do you think he could have played yesterday? Based on all the information we have, it's a resounding yes for me.
Based on all the information we were getting that may or may not have been true.
Right. Based on everything we know.
All week I said I thought he was going to play for the same reasons.
So did I. And it would appear he didn't play just because the coach was paranoid that he didn't get enough practice reps. That's what the coach said.
Yeah, but that was going to be the case no matter what anyway.
Right.
You know, he wasn't going to practice, if at all, until Friday. And if they determined that it wasn't good enough, or he said, hey, I can't do this or that, it's going to affect my handoffs to the right. I use my left hand. I don't know the reason. But I will say this, that I don't think it would have made a difference based on how they were schemed to play. I think they would have lost no matter what because of scheming.
I think I can pick 30 quarterbacks in the league who would have given a better performance than Mason Rudolph in that game.
I'm not disputing that. He was not good. But you just said
it wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah, because I think the same game plan would have been in place. Would he have checked out of some of those plays? That's maybe something Rodgers can do that Mason probably wasn't willing or not able to do.
Well, that's all it would have taken to win the game.
But you watched Aaron Rodgers in the Chargers game.
Yeah.
Right?
Under unbelievable duress. Can you imagine what would have happened to Rudolph in that situation?
Okay, but my point is, he didn't look good in that game.
No, he didn't.
I thought as the game went on last week before his injury, it wasn't looking good. He had one drive at the beginning of the game.
Not great, but he wound up with the same stats as Mason.
Okay, my point is, I would have preferred Rodgers. I said that all week. Do I think if Rodgers plays, they win? Probably not, because I do think their schematic approach to this game did not do themselves any favors on both sides of the ball.
Me neither.
And they fed right into an injured team. You made the injured team. You knew what they were missing, and yet you let them get away with it with a bunch of backups who later got knocked out of the game anyway. They were playing with, like, you know, guys from the practice squad, it seemed like.
Yeah,
you got to be able to exploit that, especially
I think Rodgers would have exploited it with his brain better and his arm better.
Maybe you would be right.
The offensive scheme stinks. The defense stinks, period. The special team stunk, and the Steelers would have won the game with 30 other quarterbacks than Mason yesterday.
We should talk about special teams because that's one thing that's not going to get over. But you cannot do what they did. Corliss Waitman was terrible. You know,
Limits, do you think they win the game with Aaron Rodgers?
I do, yes. I even put it out there on Twitter. I had it as a 3-point victory with Rodgers, and we discussed it on Friday. How many points do you think Aaron Rodgers is worth?
I said zero,
I said four.
Wrong. Once Mason started playing, I realized how wrong I was.
I thought they ultimately would end up losing by one. It ended up being a 3-point game, but that Mason Rudolph playing instead of Aaron Rodgers is what made the difference between me thinking the Steelers would win.
Why
and the
do
Steelers
you think Rodgers didn't play?
Whether it was Tomlin paranoia or I think it was strange that Tomlin never came out and said, yes, he's cleared to play. So I do wonder if maybe doctors did advise him and tell him, hey, we don't think he's good enough to go out there.
Too,
I don't know how that would be cleared up again. So I guess we're looking at Mason against Buffalo, according to that theory. Like, I don't know how a fractured left wrist, if it's so bad that you can't play, clears itself up in 4 days. So that he can practice, remember, because that's the big thing here. I guess he has to practice. Even though other starting quarterbacks, you know, if you're still limited on Friday, you can still play the game because you're the starter.
Well, just so you know, even though I felt the Rodgers were going to play, I picked the Bears to win for the same reason that I've been picking sometimes against the Steelers on some of these games, which is the defensive approach to this game and the offensive approach to this game. They need to have bigger plays on offense. And even though they won the turnover battle yesterday, normally that means you win, right?
Yeah. Well, how about throwing it to Roman Wilson for a touchdown there on the second last series, which I think he would have had. That would have been a big play.
All right. You can make that assertion, and you could be right, or you could be wrong. All I'm saying is I didn't like their chances with Aaron Rodgers either in this game. And I knew that they had injuries. I didn't know how many injuries. But I just, again, that that scheme doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
You brought DK Metcalf
here to go down the field and do some big things. You brought Jonnu Smith here because he had 88 catches. What was Miami doing to unlock him, and what aren't they doing here for a coach who loves tight ends like Arthur Smith?
Clearly, yes. Agreed on every syllable you're saying. It's Arthur Smith came here overrated. Came here because Derrick Henry got him a job in Atlanta, which he failed miserably at. He failed miserably in his first year as Steelers coordinator. And everything you're saying is true. And they would have won the game with Rodgers.
All right. Well, that's because we agree to disagree there, because I don't think it would have mattered.
All right. I don't know. I think that Rodgers spots things that Rudolph doesn't.
No question.
Like the fact
that
Jonnu Smith is wide open off the line of scrimmage on third down there.
But over the past several games, there have been times when Rodgers has missed guys too. And I think mostly because he gets pressure and then immediately wants to not get hit. So, I mean,
Kabali was on this station today saying Mason Rudolph played well enough to win.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I don't think he played well. I expected more out of Mason because I really believe that he has the talent to do it. Yesterday was not on display.
All the things, the reason Mason has never become a starter is things like holding the ball too long, making wrong decisions, missing on some throws. He's a good backup quarterback.
Bob, the show has been hijacked.
Who's hijacking?
The show has been hijacked. We have a caller.
Yes.
Joe Starkey, you wouldn't know what a good quarterback was if he came up and slapped you upside the face.
There's Kabali. Tell me more about how Mason Rudolph played well enough to win. I'd love to hear this.
30 better quarterbacks.
Tell me more. 30 other quarterbacks would have played better than him yesterday against a JV defense that had five starters on the field. Yes.
You are full of baloney.
Tell me more.
He did not play his best game. I will totally.
But he played well enough to win. You told the morning show he played well enough to win. What did he do exactly other than complete a bunch of 2-yard passes?
Well, is the 2-yard passes because he threw them there, or is it the 2-yard passes because he was told to throw them there?
Either way, what did he do that made him play well enough to win the game? What did Mason do?
He ran for 30 yards with 2 minutes left in the game to put him in position to either tie or win the game if Kenny Gainwell would have taken 2 steps forward.
How does Aaron Rodgers recognize from the sidelines that it's a horrible formation, but Mason doesn't recognize it on the field?
Yes, he does.
What did he do then?
Closely,
why didn't he call timeout then? Why didn't he call timeout?
I don't even know if they had any, did they?
They had three.
Listen, if you look at that clip very closely, Mason runs to a left, taps Kenny Gainwell, says, "You're in the wrong formation.
Yeah.
Get over there."
Did he fix it?
Kenny Gainwell never got on to the line.
Right. So why snap the ball?
Probably because the clock was rolling down.
Why not call timeout and save the play then?
Listen, Joe. If you're watching this game and saying Mason Rudolph is the reason why they lost this game, man, me and Hoke are going to beat you.
Right, because Hoke said also yesterday he's a starting caliber quarterback. I said there are many reasons why. If Aaron Rodgers plays, they win. If a lot of other quarterbacks play, they win. You still haven't answered the question, though. Why didn't he call timeout when? Why didn't he call timeout when he couldn't get Gainwell in position and he knew it was a bad formation?
Because he got him in position. He just didn't realize Kenny Gainwell didn't know he was supposed to cover up the freaking
Well, clearly he didn't get him in position because the flag threw as soon as the ball was snapped.
Yeah, what a play. Mason play. He did not throw the ball well. This is an 8-3 Bears team that's find ways to win, and he had him with the ball inside the 50-yard line with a minute and a half to win the game. I guarantee if I told you that.
And what happened then? He had them there, and what happened then? A two-yard pass to Calvin Austin. He misses Jonnu Smith wide open off the line and then tries to force a pass to Metcalf to end the game that gets deflected that never would have gotten there.
I'm just saying, Joe, he did not play great. But if you look at that defense, you look at some of the coaches, you look at the punting, you look at the
all of it, all of it. Yes, I'm simply quibbling. I'm simply quibbling with your statement. He played well enough for them to win the game. That's to
yes,
me is
he did.
Patently
he
false.
Well he
but you're also saying he didn't play well.
I would say he missed some throws. Okay, he's allowed to do that. You're telling me that first throw to DK Metcalf was not a proper throw? Throw it up to him. That's DK Metcalf.
Yeah, it got intercepted, didn't it?
Oh well.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh well.
Yeah,
what happens?
I guess. Yeah, it got intercepted. Okay, how about the other ball that should have been intercepted that Roman Wilson broke up?
Well, if you should have intercepted that one, then you're going to give me that should have been a 30-yard run to set up Boswell's game-tying field goal.
No, because Mason failed to recognize they were out of formation.
I'm not giving you that one.
How about on the second last series, Roman Wilson down the field beating his guy? Wide open, really, would have been, but Mason throws it 5 yards out of bounds.
Hey, Bob, tell him those stats again. What was it, 20 of 23?
23 of 24, 10 yards or less,
yeah.
And then 1 for 6
that
down the field.
That was the game plan. That was the game plan.
That was my take. I thought this was all on coaching. I thought this was schematics failed.
I mean, it came down to a 3-point game, and he made bad decisions, poor throws.
It should have been over before that.
I might agree with you, Joe. Aaron Rodgers might have found a way to win because it's Aaron Rodgers in Chicago, but I'm not blaming Mason Rudolph for this loss. I'm blaming the entire organization for the loss.
Including him.
Team.
Right.
Everybody.
Well, then you just said what I said. They may win the game.
But you're
they win
the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think a lot of other quarterbacks would have played a better game under those circumstances than Mason.
Justin Fields?
Yes. Justin Fields would have run for some.
Oh.
I do agree with that. I think a guy who can run can take him out of some situations.
Or put it this way, 100 other quarterbacks and maybe 1,000 could have completed pretty much every pass Mason did. He made a great throw, I thought, to Freiermuth at the goal line. That was a great throw.
Yes. Well, I'm somewhere in the Notre Dame area. We're listening to you, and I thought I'd chime in here. And, Bob, I will leave you on this, brother. what do you think of George Pickens?
I've stated my case.
No,
but I stated my case at the beginning of the season. I haven't wavered from it one bit. I thought that was a mistake. I also think coaches should recognize individual talent in players and scheme accordingly. When you have talented players who do what they do, then you have to highlight them. You have to scheme them open. And we have not seen a lot of scheming anyone open. And he's the guy who, given an opportunity and schemed to get open, is now second in the NFL in receiving yards. He's got 8 touchdowns. He's on pace for like 13 touchdowns.
He's first-team All-Pro. Thank you.
Yeah. All I got to say is get ready for Mace.
Thank you, big boy.
Hey. Mason starting all 18 games next year because they're going to make.
Oh, by the way, what do you think about that, Mark?
Get ready to go 9-8.
What do you think about that next week? I think there has to be more to Rodgers' situation than just a coaching.
He told,
I think there has to be more to it. Why would you not start him if he was capable of starting?
I would say that he wasn't cleared. I would just say that he wasn't cleared, and Tomlin's just covering for the doctors and covering for Rodgers. But if Mike Tomlin tells Jay Glazer at noon that Aaron Rodgers is playing next week, I'm pretty much sure that Aaron Rodgers is playing next week.
Thank you,
that's what
big
he
boy.
Did say. All right.
Yeah, that's exactly
what I think. He hijacked it. He's riding home. Mark, be safe. You know, sometimes when your blood pressure goes up, all of a sudden the gas pedal gets a little bit hit harder, and then you have problems on your hand, and they're watching every move you make.
Here's something funny. Getting feedback like, I don't understand why you're crucifying Mason and letting the defense off the hook. Who's letting the defense off the hook? I'm amazed at people who can't hold two ideas in one brain at the same time. The defense was awful. Awful. Go read the Post-Gazette. Read my column today. The offensive scheme was bad. It's just unbelievable what people hear, how it translates into their ears. And Mason wasn't very good, and he's the quarterback, and that's kind of an important position in football, in case you didn't know. And if Rodgers plays the game, I think they win. Bob thinks differently. I respect that opinion. Limits agrees with me. So, again, for this guy who texted me and everybody else with small brains, all the above can be true.
It's true. I agree with that. But if you had
to make one
decision here in terms of this question, one answer only.
Yeah.
Who was most responsible for this loss?
Mike Tomlin, because he didn't play Rodgers.
Okay. I would say Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff, because they schemed badly against a team that had nobody in the secondary, no one in the middle of the field linebacker. They're all
that too. You want to go to the biggest picture of all? Mike Tomlin, because he hired Arthur Smith. Mike Tomlin, because he's the de facto coordinator and gets outcoached on defense by the best play callers.
And that happened yesterday.
Tomlin, because he made a head-scratching decision to start the wrong quarterback. And Mike Tomlin for a million other reasons.
I just think there has to be more medical information that we don't know about, or they're keeping under wraps. That's all I'm saying. You can always list him as injured with a wrist, as questionable, or whatever you want to do throughout the course of the week. But there has to be more. To me, Mike Tomlin, as you said, wanted this guy. He wanted him for games like this.
Right.
And next week and the week after.
Right.
If he is just not playing him because he doesn't feel like he's ready, even though he was cleared, I don't know if he was cleared. I want to know for sure if he was cleared. I don't think we'll ever find out the answer to that question.
And even if he wasn't cleared, why? And now he's suddenly going to be cleared?
What are you talking about? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's I'm not a doctor.
Me neither.
I can
only go on the information that I have. And I have the head coach immediately saying, I anticipate he'll be ready next week.
Hopeful.
He said, I anticipate.
And I'm hopeful.
Right.
So that leaves that door open.
Aaron Rodgers wanted to play. That's one. The head coach said he anticipates him being ready next week, says he's hopeful. That's in the rear view mirror, saying that right after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And three, there's been no indication otherwise from any insider or anybody else. So I could sit here and say, I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know why he didn't play, but that wouldn't make for much of a radio show. We all have opinions based on what we know. What I know is that Rodgers wanted to play according to the coach, and the coach says he anticipates him playing next week. So yeah, he couldn't be that hurt. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I don't think we really know the status of that injury. I thought for sure he was going to play based on everything, the evidence you suggested. That's why I thought he would play. But I felt, even if he did, that they would lose that game. And so now they're in a conundrum here. They're 6-5 with a whole bunch of other teams they need to lose. One yesterday. Now they have the Bills and the Ravens back-to-back. This will define the rest of their season, Joe. This is where it is.
Man, this is a de facto playoff game against the Bills, and it looks like a 4-point, 3.5 maybe, 4-point spread. Let the defense off the hook. What an unbelievably stupid statement that is by whoever wrote that in. Here's my line from the Post-Gazette today. Tomlin's $170 million defense stinks. Nobody's letting the defense off the hook. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Joe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Off the top, as always, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter comes to you via South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can communicate with our dear friend City Limits on the Edgar Snyder & Associates text line, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Mark Cabali calls in to defend his honor from Chicago or wherever he was. He called in
near South Bend.
Was he?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, he was driving?
I think so.
Wow. The fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Let's just hit the phone lines limits. And I want to be clear on my position here. This was a Mike Tomlin loss for many, many, many reasons. His $170 million defense is such a profound disappointment. The offensive scheme is horrible. He hired the offensive coordinator. I mean, there were some nice drives yesterday. Don't get me wrong, but the overall philosophy seemingly don't make a turnover or try not to under any circumstances and don't risk anything over the middle of the field or down the field if you can help it is just not, to me, winning football in 2025. And even the special team stunk. But the big story is that Aaron Rodgers seemingly could have played and didn't. And what do we make of that? What do we make of Rudolph? You can't go wrong with the quarterbacks. Here we go. Rob.
All right, here's Rob and Wes Smith want to start us off.
Good morning, fellas. This is heartbreaking, man, because it's the same old thing every week, man. It's like you can't stop nobody. You can't, situational football, man. The last drive of the game is 3rd and 8. You do a two-yard quick slant. I mean, what does that do? Like, I mean, I know they probably dumbed the playbook down for Mason, but still, though, when he had opportunities, he still didn't make the best of them. Roman Wilson was wide open. He could have caught that and probably walked in the end zone. Like, I'm not blaming it all on Mason. And this Artie Smith guy, man. Like, how come you can't scheme up Jonnu Smith, man? All three of their starting linebackers were out. You can't scheme nothing up for these guys. A quick slant across the middle, like nothing?
No, you're preaching to me here, Rob. I thought the same thing, and Chris and I talked about that for a lot of our post-game show, just how that seems to be vacated, and it's such a big area. You're also limiting your own field of opportunity when it comes to sideline routes. You know, that's, you only have so much room to play with there.
Hokie seemed to say on your post game, Bob, Hokie basically intimated.
One more thing for your hang up, fellas. After you, Bob, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say Chris Hoke said on the post game show, Rob, that Tomlin's paranoid. Their offense is paranoid to go over the middle because they're afraid of turnovers there. They think it's more risky, which is unbelievable to me, but go ahead.
It's part of the game.
Yeah.
That's why it's a stat. It's part of the – if he's scared of turnovers, he needs to just resign right
but
now.
But they also – they actually won the turnover. They won the turnover battle yesterday.
Bob, I think the next time they make a turnover, they should just walk off the field and go in.
Yeah, one more thing, fellas, real quick. What is going on with just Jaylen Warren not being on the field? Like, most of the – he needs to be out there. Like, he breaks more tackles than anybody on the team besides Big Man Washington. I don't know what's going on.
Neither one
man.
Of them was on the field for the last drive when all they needed really at the end was 5 yards and maybe not even that. I appreciate the call, Rob. Bob, are you with me that they should have sprinted out the field goal team on fourth down and tried to, rather than watching another Mason miniature pass, they should have tried a 64-yarder?
Yes, because of the time left, no timeouts. Take what you can get and hope. And it's, you know, it's here's. If you had to do probabilities on what is more likely to happen, the Steelers move another 10 to 15 yards, or with you have a guy who's already made a 67-yard field goal, can he make, or no, 60. Can he make 64? The one that was 60 could have gone 72.
Exactly.
So if it comes right down to that, and you know you have him, he's got the leg to do it, and at least that gives you another opportunity in overtime to try to win. And if you don't win, so be it. You went down with one of your best players at best of what he does.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the one he made from 60 would have been good from 70. And there was plenty of time. There was 27 seconds when Metcalf was tackled on the third down play. Yet, you look at the shot, the television shot, and nobody's even clamoring on the side. Like, there's no rustling on the sidelines. Like, it wasn't even a thought that they would kick a field goal with their 60-yard field goal kicker. Something's just very, very odd.
Yeah, and that play that Rudolph threw on fourth down, that was going to be picked off by the same guy who had the interception early in the game because he was there waiting to make that play. And even you threw it to DK. He was so well covered that it wasn't going to work anyway.
Another bad play by
Mason.
But
again, to the sideline, I understand there's no timeouts, but the whole theme was sideline throws or underneath throws.
Right.
And if you don't get the yak yards, and the Chicago Bears are pretty good at wrapping up tackles yesterday, if that's part of your game plan to get yards after catch, well, the best place to do that is over the middle of the field.
Agreed. I mean, at least have to show it, you know? Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry every Wednesday, Friday through Friday at noon. Contest run on the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 Peters Township. Who's next, Limits?
Here's our guy Paul in Washington to chime in.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Giuseppe. Hello, Roberto.
See, hello, Paulino. Mangia, mangia.
I don't know where to start, Bob. I don't know where to start, Joe. I mean, where do you want to start with this disaster that is Mike Tomlin and Art Rooney running this team, because they're running it right off the train tracks? Why wasn't Boswell out there to kick the field goal? Oh, we don't live in our fears. And Mike Tomlin, it's called a passing attempt, not play pass. The totality is called the team. The collective is called the team. I'm tired of hearing your BS. You're not smarter than everybody else. And the thing that really got me mad, you walk over there and shake everybody's hand like it's no big daggone deal. That just got your butt handed to you. You're a horrible coach. You should be fired. And you know what? I don't think anybody's going to be reaching out to hire him right away either, because I think he's overrated, and we all know why he's still the coach, because the owner doesn't.
Well, that was a hot rant.
I didn't hear the last part, but thank you. One thing I won't blame him for yesterday is shaking people's hands after the game, Bob. I mean, everybody does that. Right?
Good game.
You know, the thing about breaking these games down is you could find a lot of different topical points there throughout the course of this game when they're all involved in one-score games. But I also will say this, that, you know, if you're going to make decisions and changes and what you're going to do has to take place, not in season necessarily, but after, they're still 6-5. They're, you know, who knows how this plays out? We've gone back and forth, Joe. I know when the Colts game came to town, I didn't think they were going to win that game, and they did. So who knows? And the Bills, as you have predicted, are falling apart, it seems. They can't do a lot of good. This is a huge game this week. And it would not surprise me if the Steelers pull one of their really good home games and win a game. Would it surprise me if they lose? No, because I've seen enough to make me think that they can't sustain this sort of approach to these games. You have to look at whatever your opponent is vulnerable at, attack it every time. And they didn't do that well enough yesterday, in my opinion. So,
I think the point is they're headed to the same spot they're always headed. They'll tease us.
Right.
I'm confident they're going to beat Buffalo this weekend. Buffalo stinks. They've gone on the road and gotten blown out by Atlanta and Miami in recent memory.
And they lost to Tua, and they lost to Penix, and they had one other loss to a backup quarterback in there too, which means, you know, they're not taking advantage of those opportunities. Houston's defense laid out a good game plan if you're trying to get to Josh Allen. They sacked him 8 times. They hit him 7 more times. If you're going to stop them, you have to stop him because, Joe, as we've seen in the previous games, he himself accounted for all 6 scores in a win. He single-handedly can beat you.
Sure he can, but the fact that it's a 4.5-point spread blows my mind because the Bills are not a very good football team this season.
Well, that's reflective of what the Steelers are doing too then.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. But at least the Steelers don't get blown out all the time. The Bills, have been blown out by Miami and Atlanta and just absolutely destroyed by Houston up front offensively. I'm shocked at that point spread, actually, because they're just not a good football team. And this is what the Steelers do. This is what they do. They're going to have a couple more resounding wins before the year's out. They'll probably go 9-8. They may sneak into the playoffs. This is what they do. Listen to...
By the way, can we not have donuts outside here?
Just I know.
Because
God, I want one of those pumpkin donuts.
And I admire your willpower, but I will say this.
I wish everybody would eat them.
I don't know about you. I don't search for donuts. I don't search for ice cream.
They're just here.
But when they're here,
It
becomes a mind game that I often lose.
What kind did you have, Bob?
I had a chocolate glaze, but here's the thing.
Well, that's what I had too, Bob.
I went past it 3 different times. I ignored it the second time. I actually swore at the box. I said, it ain't going to get me.
And it's then just the that one time. Yeah.
There was a half in there, so I took the half. And that makes me feel somewhat good about my decision.
I think that's good. Half is better than a whole.
That 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.